Hello, welcome to Second Row Conversations. I'm Letitia, and I thank you for joining me on today. It is episode 3, and I'm so excited that you are here with me as we sit and talk on the second row. And as you can see, I have a special guest with me today. Some of you may know and recognize her, and some of you may not, but she is Janiyah, and she is my daughter, our daughter. And I'm so excited that she is able to join me today on the second row. And so today is going to be what I want to call maybe behind the second row.
Fifth row.
Okay, fifth row. That's what we're going to call it. Okay, fifth row. And there may be episodes coming in the future that we are going to have guests who aren't first ladies. So it'll be behind the second row, maybe episodes, maybe something like that. So today we have the fifth row, Janiyah, and we're going to talk about being a PK on today. So she is, again, our daughter. She's Janiyah. She's 23 years old. She is a Wilson High School graduate. She's also a College of Charleston alum, which is where her parents attended. And she is in her second year at MUSC in the Physician Assistant Program. Yes. She will begin her clinical rotations this week. So we're all excited. And I wanted to have her with me today to talk about all things PK, all things preacher's kids. And so here we are. So thank you for joining me on today.
Hey, girl.
Hey, girl. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to start off with, what are three words that your friends would use to describe you? How would they describe Janiyah?
Probably blunt.
Okay.
Loving. And hilarious.
Hilarious. Yeah. Okay. Blunt, loving, and hilarious. That's an interesting combination. Why? How does that all play in your friendships with those words, those characteristics? Being blunt, being loving, and hilarious.
I mean, I feel like they know that, like, they'll get the shirt off my back, but I'm also going to tell you, like, you're being really dumb.
And okay.
This is really dumb.
Okay.
But you'll get the shirt off my back, but I'm also, as I'm giving it to you, like.
You're going to have those hard conversations.
Yes. And okay. Hilarious, like, everybody gets a laugh okay. around me.
Everybody gets a laugh. Has being blunt, has that been helpful in your friendships, in your relationships, or, and I say relationships, I mean just.
I would say it's a loving blunt.
Like, okay, a loving blunt, okay.
You know, like, I'm going to tell you, but I'm also going to try to tell you in as much love and grace as possible.
Okay. That's good, because we need those hard conversations. And you don't want to be rude,
yeah.
But straightforward with if they're having something going on and you're talking. So I give you my shirt off my back, but while I'm giving you the shirt off my back, I'm telling you,
be in this position because you did something dumb.
Do you say they do something dumb, Janiyah?
For the most part, it depends
okay.
who it is.
Okay. Okay. So you know how yeah. to have the conversations with the people. Some people can handle you being dumb, yeah. while some can handle, that may not have been the best decision.
Yeah. Like, I'll ask them, like, do you want support right now or do you want solutions?
Okay.
Because I don't want to give somebody a solution when they just want me to listen to them.
Okay. Well, that's good to know and to ask up front, how do you want me to handle this conversation?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good. Well, thank you again. those are really good, very extreme characteristics, but that's who you are. And that's so exciting. So you are a PK.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. How do you remember, and I don't remember, I was trying to think about it, but do you remember, do you know, did we have a conversation with you to say, hey, daddy's going to start preaching first, and then we evolved into daddy's going to be the pastor?
I don't remember having a conversation. My only memory is us being at the service and okay. like, being emotional, but I feel like I was just emotional because everybody else was emotional.
Okay.
But I feel like if I could tell myself, then I'm like, you're emotional because baby,
you're emotional
wild
because a wild
ride.
So the service being when he was being ordained,
yes,
as the pastor. Okay, so Do you remember, and I'm sure you do, like when the church started and, okay, because, you know, he's, the church started and then he wasn't the pastor. He was
everybody just called him pastor.
So right, everybody called him pastor. And then it became, now you are now the pastor. So how has that evolved? How have you evolved from that little girl? Because you were young and being the PK. Like, did you know what was about to happen?
I don't think I did.
You didn't know what was about to happen. No. Okay. So how has that been? How has life been for
you? It was interesting. I think, yeah, it was interesting. Like, it was very much so. I feel like there was, like, always a camera on me.
Okay.
Because everybody was like, oh, I want my child to be just like you.
Oh.
Okay. But I'm like, no. Like, I won't. I just, that's just my dad.
Okay. Okay. So when they, that's good. They wanted their child to be just like you. So what do you think they meant by that?
Well, I guess they just always saw, like, oh, like, Janiyah comes to church. She sits in church. She does everything right.
Okay.
And then she goes home and, like, she gets good grades and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just like, I don't think they see, like, Janiyah also doesn't see her dad, like, maybe two times out of the week. Or she can't play with her dad because he has to study.
Okay.
So
they didn't see that part of it. They just saw Janiyah is a good child. She does what she's asked. Yeah. She's praise and worship team. Yeah, she's singing. She's Sunday school. She's doing all the things as a PK should.
Supposed to do.
Right. But not understanding also the downfalls of it. So let's talk about that. What are some of the, I don't want to say downfalls, I shouldn't say it like that, but what are some of the things you've had to go through and experience as a PK that some people, that for those who aren't PKs and they're on the outside looking in, what are some experiences that you've had to go through? You kind of hit,
I feel like most of it's probably just like sharing your parents, because it's like they're always, yeah, like you live with them, your parents, you see them basically 24/7. But then it's always like, oh, I got to go do this, or oh, I got to go, like, this child is doing this, I got to go do that. But it's like, what about me? Like,
Yeah. So it was almost like they're supporting the other children, but it's like, right.
Or like you would see, like, oh, like this child got in trouble, but it's like, oh, your parent didn't say anything. But if I had done that, oh, World War III would have broke out. And it's just like, well, what about me?
Well, do you think that's because,
I feel like part of it is like they just have that expectation, but it's also like I have to be supportive and give the softer landing because I am the pastor. Like, I can't choke this child out because they don't belong to me.
You can't choke other people's children out. You will go to jail.
Not that my daddy would ever choke me. Let me preface.
Yes.
My daddy would never choke me. Seriously.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you.
He might threaten to, but he would never seriously choke me. But yeah.
So what I hear you saying is that it seemed like he was a little bit more lenient.
Yeah, with other people.
With other children, other people's children, more so than he was
with me.
With you.
Yeah.
Okay. But you weren't that child. Like, you weren't a bad child. You weren't the mischievous child. You did
normal teenage
things, but you weren't the getting trouble. You didn't get in trouble at school. We didn't have to come to the school to see the teachers. Like, it was none of that. When you first started school, you did talk a lot. That was always an issue, but you got that, honestly. But it was never that. So do you think it was you did the right thing because you knew to do the right thing? Or was it because my dad's the pastor that...
Maybe a little bit of both. It was like, I knew I couldn't let my parents down because, like... Okay. Especially when I went to Wilson, like, everybody knew my mom was the guidance counselor. Everybody knew my daddy was the pastor.
Right.
So it was just kind of like, oh.
Do you think it was hard to find yourself because of that? Or just be yourself? Or trying to figure out who you were?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Because I feel like growing up in the church, like, church was, like, always part of my identity. Mm-hmm. But then, like, on the other hand of it, like, knowing God, I feel like I didn't, like, I feel like I knew him, but, like, forming my own relationship, I feel like I didn't do that till I went to college, like, College Charleston.
Okay.
And I was in gospel choir, and it's like, I had no option. Like, I had an option to go to church. If I want to go to church, I ain't talk.
When you got to college.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, okay.
So it was like that, and I felt like everybody just kind of assumed, like, oh, like, you're the pastor's kid. Like, we know you know all these things, and you do all these things. We're just like, no, like, I make mistakes. I don't always want to go to church. Like, I remember I told when our church was like, when I grow up, I'm not going to church no more. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not doing this. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't like church. I don't like having to do everything, mm-hmm. not having an option. And so then once I went to college, Charleston, I was like, oh, okay, this is weird. Not going to church. Let me go to church.
Right.
Or like, I told my mom I wasn't doing gospel choir. Like, oh, I don't want to sing. Like,
why did you say you weren't going to do gospel?
Because you was on gospel choir.
Because I was on gospel choir at the college.
And I sung all my life. And no. So then I had friends like, you're not coming to gospel choir? Like, I guess I ain't got. Sure, I guess I will go to gospel choir. And then it was like, I found like this huge community at the College of Charleston. And then it was like, of course. Like, of course I'm going to church this Sunday because we got to sing. Or, or we got Bible study at gospel choir. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I feel like. I'll let to answer your original question.
Okay. So I hear you saying because you did so much in the church,
yeah,
and it was almost like you were made to do it in the church growing up, that when you got older, you said, now that I have a choice,
yeah,
I'm not going to do it. Same here. And because I'm a PK. And so it was the same thinking, like, okay, I had to get up, I had to go to church every Sunday. I had to do all of this every Sunday. I was made to do it. And so now that I don't have to, there's not no money there to make me go, then I'm just not going to go. But that's, you said, when you formed your own relationship and realized. And that I think, too, people have to understand that just because they're PKs don't mean that they have their own relationship with God. A lot of that is, you're made to do it.
Yeah, like you have no choice but to go to
church. You have no choice but to go to church. Because if we're going to church, if I get up and I'm going to church, everybody in the house is going to church as well. But there comes a time where you have to form your own relationship. And that is important to have because life, be life.
Life.
And so did you ever get to a point where you felt like it was a competition between you and the church? When it came to your dad?
Sometimes. Like, okay. I always joke and tell y'all, like, when y'all die, like, I'm not telling the church. I always tell y'all that because I feel like I've had to share him.
Let's talk about it. Tell the people
I again. Feel like I have to share him with everybody. And I feel like some people don't always have, like, the respect of, oh, like, I'm not going to call him at this time because he is with his family. And it's just like, well, which I won't. Like, and I get it. Some people really have serious things going on and they feel like they need to call their pastor. But it's like, he's not, like, sometimes I tell myself, like, he's not my pastor. That is my daddy.
Right.
And sometimes I just want to talk, like, I just want my daddy. I don't want to have to deal with everybody in the church. Because at the end of the day, like, that is my daddy. And I feel like sometimes for him, like, sometimes I feel like it is hard for him to be like, okay, I'm not dealing with y'all right now. Not y'all, but the church now.
The church, right.
Because, like, I'm just with my daughter. I'm just with my family. And I feel like that sometimes, like, I mean, obviously, sometimes I feel like that forms some, like, barriers in me and his relationship because, like, I'm tired of sharing you. I'm tired of having to call you, but, oh, I got to call you back because somebody from church is going, like, well, what they want? Like, it's me. Like, I'm your child.
Right. So it's like I asked, a competition. Like, where do I fit in? And so, that can be hard. And I think for husbands and for first ladies, that is something that's kind of hard because you have to figure out how to maneuver all of the pieces to the puzzle because he is expected. And we, I say he, but we are expected to be available. You know, pastors and first ladies are expected to be available for families, because we are the shepherds of the house. He's the shepherd of the house. I'm his support. And so, but you have to find that balance so that you are available to your children. And I think, too, I think your dad realized that eventually, like, he made it an effort, a concerted effort to be at events for you. The basketball games, the football games. It would be hard. But I think he did try to make an effort to, okay, Janaya has this going on, or this concert, or that going on, or we got to go to Charleston because Janaya has this with a gospel choir. So, but that is important.
Like, I remember, like, my senior night for basketball, like, he ended Bible study early, and, like, the whole church came from.
Yes.
And, like, walking, like, they all came for my senior night. And, like, I appreciate that, and I always remember that because it's like, I remember when it was like, well, dang, where my daddy at? Like,
Yeah. So that showed you he is trying.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't always like that, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't always like that. So how do you think, or why do you think people stereotype pastor's kids?
Well, I feel like because they know, like, typically, like, the pastor's kids are the ones that have, like, the most, like, stipulations on them. Like, mm-hmm. I know for me, like, they would be having parties like, Janai, well, we know you're not coming. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, like, I wouldn't even ask. Because, like, my mom and daddy not let me go out there. Like, I would want to go to little kickbacks in high school. Like, yeah, my mom and daddy's not letting me go out there. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't even ask. So I think they would, like, that would be the thing. And if, like some pastor's kids, like, we'll just sneak out and go. Mm-hmm. Or be like, I'm going to tell my kids. I feel like they have that, like, everybody knew that, like, one, like, real strict pastor's kid. Like, their parents wouldn't let them wear pants. Mm-hmm. Or, like, their parents wouldn't let them, like, listen to the latest music. Mm-hmm. So it would be like, okay, well, this child wants to do that, but they're also not letting them do normal teenage things. So they're just going to rebel anyway.
Okay.
So I feel like that's where that comes from.
Okay. And so they almost have, and I know for me, I think sometimes some pastors and first ladies put their children on a pedestal.
Yeah.
And then people look at them and go, oh, they think they're better than.
Like, we know your real child.
So. Right. We know your real child. And, you know, of course, people always said, or people still have always said, and they still say that PK kids are the worst kids.
Yeah.
Do you think it's because they sneak in? Some kids sneak are sneaking.
Some, like, especially like those bigger churches, like those mega churches, like the family is seemed to be like the royal family. Mm-hmm. So the child already knows, like, oh, I'm on a pedestal, so I can do whatever I want. Mm-hmm. So when they go out in public spaces and they act like they can do whatever they want, everybody's like, oh, like, you're not for real.
Right. Right. So I want to go back to something you talked about when you said when you got to college, that's when you, like, you knew church and you knew God, but that's when you really built your relationship. How did that come about? How did it just life, or was it like?
Because school is hard. Okay. Life is hard.
Okay.
And, like, just being around, like, other like-minded people, especially with gospel choir. Shout out to my gospel choir people.
Yes.
you go to church and you see people singing and they worship, okay, whatever. But, like, going to, like, see other, like, people your age worshiping mm-hmm. and singing, you're like, oh, like, this is normal. Because, like, in Florence, like, I had friends, but I was mostly, like, the only friend that really went to church.
Right.
So, like, I had my best friends, like, Miracle and Precious. And, okay. like, we went to church together.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had no choice.
Right.
Like, they're PKs too.
They're PKs too, right?
So, like, it was different. Like, going to school, like, you had also people who had the option to go to church at this point.
Okay.
And, like, you were like, oh, like, these are your friends. And we're all going to church together. Mm-hmm. And, like, we're all, like, forming our, especially at Spectra. Like, we couldn't go to church at Spectra because we couldn't leave campus. But, like, we would basically, like, have worship service on Sundays because, like, most of these people couldn't go to church. And when some of these people did grow up in church, it was like, oh, well, we better go to church. Like,
we need to do something, right?
Like, this is not normal to us.
Exactly. Because that, do you think that's because that was instilled in you?
Yeah.
Okay. And so then college is hard and you started realizing, I need to depend on God a little bit more. I need to talk to him a little bit more. And it's not, and you know, we talk about all the time, I'm sure you've heard it in church plenty of times, where people say, okay, you got to have a relationship for yourself, not based on what your mama had or what your daddy had. Like, this is a relationship you have to have for yourself. Do you think being a PK helped that, or did it have absolutely nothing to do with that?
I think it had I feel like it honestly might have stifled it a little bit, because it was like,
really?
Especially like growing up, like my parents, like y'all did a great job showing me God, but I feel like growing up being the PK, like you see so much behind the scenes. You're like, well, if this person is supposed to be.
Okay, come on.
A Christian.
Yeah.
But they go on and they treat my parents like this. Like, I see them in the street. Like, no.
So that made you think a little bit differently.
Yeah.
About, not about God, right?
Yeah, but about church.
Church. Okay. Because there's a difference.
Yeah.
Right? People go to church.
And then they go.
Okay.
But, like, it was, like, simple things. Like, you know, like, daddy's gotten better, but we used to go to church real late. And he'd be like, okay, well, come on. Like, I want to go hang out with my friends.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
And so I remember, like, we would go to church. Like, what are y'all about? 12 o'clock. Like, what do we do?
What's the difference? Yeah.
So I'm gonna go to these people church, like this specific group of people.
Okay.
Church.
Okay.
And then, like, as I got older at the college, things happened. So I'm like, wait a minute. I think I want to be with people that I grew up with.
Right.
Kind of church.
Okay. Because like, it's familiar.
Yeah.
And you saw it. Okay.
Like, even, like, I always laugh at my friends. Like, when I would go to Nana, if I put AME, I'm like, only people go to AME church. Like, I'm not going
You said only who go to AME?
Old people go to AME church.
Go to AME. Okay. Because her Nana and her, to give you a little backstory.
My Nana and my papa.
My parents.
Were AME.
Right.
And so I would go to, like, grandma and granddaddy. They apostolic. Uh-huh. Like, we singing, like we clapping, we singing on the upbeat.
Yeah.
Then we go to this AME church, and we singing the hymn.
Yeah.
And
it's like, 'cause it's very traditional.
Right. It's like, why is everybody moving so slow?
Okay. Completely different.
Completely different.
Right. Which is kind of similar to what I grew up with, because we were AME, but Papa was Fire Baptized Holiness. Yeah, and if, like, you know, you know.
Yeah, like, we would go and so, it would be like, oh, this is totally different.
Completely different. But you were able to experience different church churches. Experiences, right? But you said kind of growing up as a PK stifle your relationship a little bit with God because of the way you saw people, the different sides of people.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting. And sometimes PKs also, first ladies see the real.
Yeah, because I know, like I feel like y'all would try to, like, contain it. But I would see when people, like, would come and then they would leave. Mm-hmm. And then, like, I would be like, okay, my parents are obviously hurt. Or, like, I would have people that would come, I would form relationships with, and then they would just up and go. Mm-hmm. So it's like, especially because I'm the only child. Like,
these would be your friends.
These are my friends. Right. These are people that, like, became, like, siblings to me. And it just, like, up and go. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, what happened? Mm-hmm.
And we never talked about it.
No, so, like, no. I would obviously see, like, or overhear things like, oh, like, and I'm like, wait a minute, I don't like that, because what you're not going to do is mess around my mom and my daddy.
Right.
And so, yeah.
Okay. So, and we try to shield, of course, certain things, because
stay you're a child. Place.
Right. Stay in the child's place. But as a PK, I would see things as well with my parents. And so, it's just, that's just how life is. And so, you see it. And, you try not to, did not hold grudges against people, because people are going, one thing you've learned,
people
and I hope
people.
People are going to be people. No one is, you can't make people stay, but that's just life. People come and they go and you still love them regardless. And I hope that's something that you've learned in life, and it doesn't change your perception of who God is and all of his goodness. So now you're an adult, and however, you're still a PK.
Yes.
And how has anything changed as far as the relationship between us and you, as far as you being a PK? I know you're not in the home, right? But do you still have those feelings that you had before when you were growing up as a PK? Like, how do you?
I mean, sometimes, like, I literally just talked to my therapist about this. Like, sometimes I feel like there is, like, this added pressure to, like, perform or to be the specific person. But on the other hand of that, like, I've also just conceived the notion that I just don't care. Not, like, what would y'all think, but, like, people from the church, like, before I would be like, oh, like, you're not adding me on Instagram. But you, like, no. Now I'd be like, okay, you want to add me on Instagram? I don't care, because my daddy know what I wear. My daddy know what I wear.
Oh, okay. I understand,
like, I feel like people always had that notion of, like, oh, I'm going to tell your daddy. Like, oh, I saw you out here with shorts on. Oh, I'm going to tell your daddy.
Oh, okay. I understand now.
And now I'm just like, I'll send him a picture. My daddy probably, I honestly probably called him and showed him my outfit. Like,
okay.
So I feel like that, but growing up, like, now being grown,
okay,
because I'm still my parents' child.
Yes, you still all gonna be our child. Absolutely gonna always be our baby.
I feel like there is a little expectation. Like, I come home, I know I'm going to church. Like, I've never been like, oh, like, I'm not going to church today. Mm-hmm. So I feel like yes and no.
Okay.
Like, I feel like not the rings have been let go, because I mean, like, for the most part, I don't live for y'all. But I feel like a few weeks ago, like I told them, oh yeah, I went to a church by myself without anybody ever telling me to go. Mm-hmm. So before I told them, like, I'm not joining nobody church. Mm-hmm. I'm only going to watch y'all church.
And that was that.
That was that. And y'all were never like, well, no, you need to go to somebody's church. Mm-hmm. Y'all were just like, okay, like whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm.
As long as you're getting fed, that was our thing. So we wanted you to go find a church because you need to be working in a church, but we weren't going to make it like, we're going to force you, but you did it on your own and we're proud of you.
Yeah. Like I told them, I'm always going to be part of the youth ministry at Simple Faith. Always. Shout out to Auntie Tamla.
Shout out to Auntie Tamla. But you're 23 years old.
So.
Okay.
She called me the assistant youth director.
The assistant youth director, because you can always.
I'm always be a part of the youth community. I will not be a part of women's ministry.
Why not, Janaya?
Because I'm a child. Oh.
Okay. But you're 23. Okay. But I understand. So now you're working with the young people? Is that what?
Yes.
That's what you're looking for.
I feel like I can better fit as a mentor to the young people rather than being a part of the women's ministry. Because it's a weird space.
It is.
Because you're still
space.
Like, I feel like I still have relationships with these kids because they've grown up looking up to me. But I'm like, somebody's been old enough to be my grandma. I'm like, what you mean?
Here we go.
I'm supposed to come in here and say, no.
Because you're a woman now.
I'm supposed to come in here and share my life story with them.
So maybe we need a young women's ministry that's in that weird space between.
Because I'm not about to come in here and like somebody, they don't know what Instagram is.
Yes, we do, Janelle.
Some of them,
but not everybody.
So I feel like y'all can't relate to like 2024 dating apps and all the things. Because y'all going to be like, well, what is a dating app?
No, some women some will be, are you on a dating app? They would know what it is.
I thought that was for weird people. Like, you know, everybody's on dating. Everybody's on Hinge now.
Okay.
Everybody's on Hinge.
So it's not weird. It's just 2024. That's where we are.
Yeah.
Okay. So the women need to figure out what's going on and kind of adapt to the young people. Okay. Do you wish that you had a space or a place you could go as a PK to kind of talk about your feelings and relate with other PKs? Do you think that would have helped?
Yes, because I feel like sometimes when you talk to a non-PK,
okay,
they're looking at it from the view of, oh, I should always have access to my pastor. Or like, you have great parents. And I'm like, well, I'm not saying that I don't have great parents. Sometimes they make me mad. Sometimes I just want to talk about how my parents made me mad. And
not the pastor.
Yeah, sometimes
not the pastor, the first lady.
Mama had made me mad.
Right.
Or sometimes I want to talk about like how I don't like sharing my parents and how I don't feel like it's fair. Because sometimes I don't feel like it's not just what I'm talking about. Sometimes, especially being a woman, like I just want my mama.
Okay.
I just want my daddy. Mm-hmm. And I'm like sometimes also being the only child.
I was gonna say.
Also being the only child. I have never had to share my parents.
Right. Never had to share your parents.
So coming to people, oh, like mom and daddy. I'm like, no. That's your pastor, that's your first lady. So like they're like, oh, like this is my spiritual father, this is my no. That's your pastor, that's your first lady. So like it is hard having to be like, okay, I guess. Like people come like, oh hey sis. I'm like, who are you? I don't have no brothers and sisters. Biologically.
Right. But it's a part of
the being church. The PK. And I feel like when you tell people that, they just want you, they don't understand.
Okay.
They don't get it sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or like going back to when Papa died, it was like everybody was at the house. Everybody wanted to be a part because they felt like they felt like that was their dad.
Right.
And for me, I'm like, no, that is my grandfather. That is like y'all know him. Mm-hmm. But like y'all don't know him.
Right. Right.
And so, like, and I also felt like there was no time to grieve when he died because it was just like Sons of Allen was at the house, like Eastern Stars were at the house, and it, like everybody just wanted you to be there and be like supporter for them. And it's just like, well, why am I supporting you? Like I know this man, like I'm the one reading him.
Yeah.
So that's why I always tell y'all, like, no, private ceremony. Sorry for church folk, but private ceremony. We will announce later.
We are still working on that. No,
it will be a later date. Y'all can share private ceremony. I will grieve my parents.
Because you feel like you've already
shared them enough. Like, what more do you want from me? Like, I don't, like, because I know, like, everybody's going to be upset. They're going to come. They're going to cry. And I'm going to go, well, why are you crying? Like, I get it. Like, I get why you're crying.
Okay, I was about to say, you understand. Because people love your parents. Dad. Right. And people love your dad because he's...
Because he's friend, like everybody knows him. Everybody he laughs and talks him. With everybody. You yeah. laugh and talk with everybody. Everybody loves y'all. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, I don't want to have to console you. Because mm-hmm. mm-hmm. I feel like we did a lot of consoling for other people when Papa died. Mm-hmm. And then like, right when after that, over. Like we moved in, right, like we moved in with Nana. So it was like, there was no like, everybody stop.
Okay.
And let's just be.
Yeah. That's true.
And I feel like my everybody stop was not until like years later when I was in college.
Okay.
And I was like, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I am not okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it was like, even now, like it's still like, oh, like he's missing big things mm-hmm. because he's not here. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's like weird. So yeah, that is.
Okay. And that is tough. That reoccurring thing of having to share, because you didn't ask for it.
Yeah. No.
But the Lord saw fit to call your dad, and He knew that calling your dad would mean basically calling us.
Yeah.
Right. And He knew that we would figure it out.
Yeah.
With His help, and we don't always get it right. But and as first ladies. Like I said earlier, we try to find that balance between making sure that he's good as the pastor and the shepherd and the husband and all things, and your children, they're good. Your daughter's good. If you only have one, like I only have one, or your children are good because they are having to share. And daddy is having to study. And so you're trying to make sure that they don't bother daddy while he's studying. And then, but making sure daddy's always available when they need it. So it's hard. It is hard. And for PK kids, they don't understand, or for adults looking in, they do have a perception of the child has to be perfect.
Yeah.
Because this is the pastor, and God forbid you make a mistake. Yeah. How dare you make a mistake because you're the PK and everybody's supposed to be perfect and all of that. So it is hard. And that's why I wanted to talk to you, because there are people out who have these ideas of what it's supposed to be, like the first family. What's the first family supposed to be? And I wanted them to get a glimpse of.
Because we beef. Like, the first family beef.
We beef. We don't always agree on everything. No. But we talk it out. We figure it out. Or we text it out, because Janiyah is a texter.
I'm getting better. I'm
this new age, therapy. These new age kids, these new age young people, yeah, they talk things out through their text. But we talk it out and we figure it out. And it's hard, because sometimes, and I'm sure if some first aides can attest to this, like we are the mediator trying to figure it out. Any mama can probably attest to that. We are the mediator trying to make sure that everybody's good and all players of the game.
Everybody is on their right block.
Right. Everybody's doing what it's supposed to be.
And sometimes you just have to say, everybody go to their corners.
Everybody goes to go to their corners and figure it out. Calm down. And then let's come back and we'll talk about it. How do you think parents can help their children? Their PKs, how can pastors and first ladies, the parents, how can they help their children growing up? Is there anything that they can do?
Getting them in therapy.
Really?
I think getting them in therapy, because it is a lot of pressure. And okay. I feel like part of that, I have really bad anxiety. Perfectionism is really ingrained into PKs. So I feel like, because, I mean, sometimes I feel like pastors are like, oh, like, my child is blaming me, or, mm-hmm. like, my child is angry with me. When it's like, no, like, I don't blame daddy for being called to be a pastor. Mm-hmm. Like, I have nothing to do with that.
No, absolutely nothing. How dare you, Christian?
Like, how dare you?
God is in control of that, honey.
So, I feel like getting them in therapy would be a great, like, balance, because you're dealing with pressures from the world, like from school and mm-hmm. all of that. And then you're mm-hmm. also dealing with pressures from the church, and mm-hmm. you're sharing, like you have this newfound family.
Right.
Like I love my church family.
Absolutely.
But it's like,
where'd y'all come from?
and especially like with now that I'm older, like, and I can say that like, oh, my parents are my best friends. Like you want to protect your best friends. So it's always like, well, who is this new person? Like, why are they talking to you? Who would like, mm-hmm. what are their intentions?
Right.
And so I feel like, especially like when you get that teenage year, because it's like, yes, like I tell people, like it is hard raising your parents. You're like, this is my child, and you're not about to hurt my child.
Right.
So I'm
roles have reversed.
I'm gonna keep an eye on you because I don't know your intentions. Mm-hmm. But being a younger child, like everybody would be like, "Oh, like Janiyah is so smart," and like, "Yes, I am." But people also wouldn't realize like Janiyah stresses about school more than the average person.
She does.
And Janiyah beats herself up when she doesn't do well because she feels like she's letting her parents and her grandparents down. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yeah, therapy would be great.
Okay.
Once God has told you you're going to be a pastor, like, okay, I'm going to go get my kids in therapy.
Okay.
A great therapist.
Okay.
I feel like being very intentional with planning days for mm-hmm. your kids, because I feel like if you don't like. You're like, oh, we're going to do this. And then, like, next thing you know, like, somebody from the church needs something. It's like, oh, it just slips away. Mm-hmm. Like, it just, oh, like, we forgot or we didn't have a chance to. Right. Or it gets cut short.
Okay.
Because I have to make sure, like, oh, like, yeah, we're going to do this, but I also have to go do this really quickly.
Okay. So having days set aside.
Like, I feel like if I could go back, I feel like I would have loved for us to have, like, a calendar. And it's just, like, Janiyah's day. Mm-hmm. Or... we got to go to church this day, or because I feel like, are we going to church today?
It was a lot of that.
What if I wanted to do something?
Right, yeah. Oh, yeah. By the way, we have second service today.
Oh, yeah. Your daddy got to preach here. Mm-hmm. So make sure you got this, like, oh, mm-hmm. you want to go do that? Oh, sorry, we got church tonight. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it was, like, sometimes, like, once I got older, it was like, oh, like, you want to go with Miracle and Precious? Like, that's fine. Like, it's okay to miss church.
Right.
Because I feel like sometimes I wouldn't even ask, like, oh, are we at church? Like, I'm not even going to ask. Like, I know really? We're going to church. And I feel like Miracle was like that. Precious was like that.
Okay. Like, shout out to Miracle and Precious.
Those are my best friends. I will say that is the great thing that the military and church brought me is I have two amazing best friends. Shout out to Jazz, too.
Jazz as well.
And Ty.
Yes. And Ty. Hey, y'all. Hey. Yes.
And now I have two additional little brothers.
Right.
That church brought us. Because I feel like when we were younger, like, we didn't have nobody because mm-hmm. like our church was young, their church was young. It was just like, there was no youth ministry. It was mm-hmm. just mm-hmm. y'all. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yes, planning specific days. Mm-hmm. Telling them church work to leave them alone. Like sometimes you just don't want to be bothered. Like, and I feel like, especially with like, love y'all church family, but I feel like sometimes like when we come to church, like they think I want to talk and they think sometimes I just want to sit. And no, I don't want to take up offering. No, I don't want to help you teach Sunday school real quick. Like, no, I don't want to do that.
Okay.
And so, like, I feel like sometimes the church will just assume, like, because they're the PK, like, I can automatically put them in this role. Mm-hmm. And technically, like, they're like, oh, well, she can't say no because I'm going to just tell her daddy that she said no.
Yeah.
And I feel like as I got older, I got more leniency with just saying, no, I'm not going to do that. Mm-hmm. Or I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. Like, I never really did say no.
Mm-mm. You've always done what you've asked. But inside, you wanted to say no?
And sometimes I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. I don't know.
And I think all of us have been there, though. Like, I know I've been there. And I think just non-PK church members probably have been there, too. Like, I don't. It's kids.
Like even, like, I remember, like, anybody can hear, like, my voice is really deep. So I went through this phase where, like, mm-hmm. I did not want to sing because it was, mm-hmm. like, I went from singing soprano with the puberty, I'm singing tenor, and I know no other female tenors. Like, that was weird, so.
I'm a tenor.
But you sing alto most of the time, let's be for real.
But I sung tenor at the college.
Yes, but it's different.
Okay, but anyway, it's different. Ahead. Okay.
And so it was like, no, I don't want to bring on praise and worship because I don't like singing.
You didn't like your voice, right.
And so when I went to College Charleston and didn't end up singing tenor and met another female tenor, it was like, oh, okay. And then I came back, just like, okay, yeah, like, you sing short, like, I don't mind. Mm-hmm. I'm still not leading no song.
But you were okay with.
Yeah.
So going to school helped.
Yeah, and I think part of it was just like getting away.
Getting like, away, yeah.
Because like, y'all been 15 years? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm 23 right now.
Right.
But like there was never, even like before y'all were like, when y'all were in the world, I feel like we always went to church. Like I don't remember not going to church. Mm-hmm. The longest I think I ever didn't go to church was when Papa died. Because, like, mm-hmm. Nana wasn't going to church, and so I would just...
You stay with her.
Stay with Nana.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, even then, like, I don't think I really wanted to go to church. Because mm-hmm. I was angry. I was confused. It was weird.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay.
So those are my three things.
So your three things. Okay. Those are good. So looking back, those would have been ideal, but we didn't know.
Yeah, like.
Because, and your dad's.
This y'all. Right. And then, like, love my granddaddy. He ain't the most emotionally intelligent, so he was just like.
So, because he didn't, you know, Jeremy didn't have, your dad didn't have that growing up.
Yeah.
Because they went to church all the time. Lot. Yeah, way more than what
we
did.
Had, like, outside revivals and a lot.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Friday night service, Bible study, Wednesday, two services on Sunday.
And I feel like, because I know, like, I've heard him talk, like, granddaddy would miss stuff for him. So I feel like that was normal for him. So he had to realize, like, first of all, I'm a girl. And I love my daddy. Like, okay. Not that my daddy don't love his daddy, but I'm a girl. Uh-huh. But also, like, what worked. And he might have not even realized, like, oh, like, I really did want my dad at these mm-hmm. things. Or mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I think once he realized that, like, he made it more intentional.
To come to events for you. To show up.
Yeah.
Because showing up is important.
Showing up, that's all I really.
Right.
Everyone. Like, I don't care if you know what cheer I call. Like.
But he knew. He you knew. Know, he would practice.
He would come home with
and, me. And, yeah, and do cheers with you sometimes. Right. And I think also too, your experience was different because your dad was deployed twice.
Yes.
So that was even another aspect of him not being there. Again, it was out of his control. It's out of his control, out of our control. But Uncle Sam said, you got to come.
And if you don't, you're going to jail.
So. Right. So he had to go. So that was another period of time where you didn't have him. You had to.
And I will never forget. Can I say this?
Go ahead. I don't know.
When he was getting deployed, one of our church members sat right there and it's like, I need you to survive. I will never forget that. Why would you do that? You know, he has an 8-year-old sitting right there. That was traumatizing. And I will never forget that.
That they sung, I need you to survive. That, not the best song choice, but they.
Because at this point, I know what deployment is.
Right.
And I know what war is.
Right, right. You didn't know the first time. You were 3, I think. But this time, like you said, you were 8.
What do you
because
mean?
Because the words, I need you to survive, they needed him to survive the war.
And, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that was not the best song choice. But it's okay.
It's okay.
They meant well. They meant well.
Love them. Yes. They meant well.
Yeah. That's funny.
I will never forget that.
Okay. So yeah, your experience as a PK has been very interesting because of all of those parts of it. Yes. But I think is other PKs can actually relate because I am relating to the points that you're making as far as always having to be the one to make up the difference if someone's not there.
Yeah.
Is somebody's always going to assume, well, the pastor child is here, so she can do this or he can do that. And it's funny because when we went to the church where Papa pastored and they had the mortgage burning and they needed someone to.
Yeah, they automatically look at Lala. It was like.
They needed someone to go get the offering table. They automatically. Now, we hadn't been there in years, went to the church in years. They automatically looked at Lala, my brother, to say, can you go get the. And so, yeah.
And you can't even say no. It's like,
what can
okay,
you say?
Like,
he was like, okay, I'll go get it. And so and that was funny.
Like, even though, like, I wasn't the PK at that church at Lane, I would get, like, why am I lighting the... I don't even know what that is called. Why am I lighting the candle?
You lighting the candles. You did that.
At the same church. I don't go here.
You did praise and worship.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You did praise dancing.
Praise dancing at... Yeah.
You sung. Because you were the grand PK,
I guess.
I don't know. But again, because... I think the pressure is put on the PKs to be the perfect child, to be the child of the church, the children of the church. Yeah. And then if no one else is there, then they know you're going to be there. And no, that no, is...
Like, I'm always be there.
You're going to always be there.
My daddy's a man.
Exactly. Exactly. So you've given us some good insights on life as a PK and what that looks like and how that feels, what that's been, what that growth in the church growing up in the church, what it looks like and how it has, I'm not going to say affected you, but how it has molded you into who you are today. Not in a bad way, I don't think. Do you think it's been a bad thing?
No. It's been good and bad moments.
It's been good and bad moments, just like anything in life, but it has made you to be a better person.
Yeah.
What is one piece of advice that you received that has helped you become Janiyah? She's thinking. You hadn't gotten any?
I mean, I've gotten great advice. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
It's a bunch of them.
Okay, well, give me a bunch. Give me some. Give us some examples.
Funny one. I mean, I don't think I really listened to this one, but at least not the end. I listened to the beginning, not the end of it.
Okay.
Boys and books don't mix because boys bring babies. I ain't got no baby, but.
And who told you that?
My great grandma. Shout out to Grandma Sue.
Yes.
Big we mama.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of something.
I'm not giving you any advice. Your daddy
y'all give me great advice.
Funny.
Y'all give me great advice, but it's like it's great for the moment. And it's like, you know, like
it just goes,
and I just bring it back when I need it. I bring the shit back.
Like, oh, I remember my mom and your daddy said that.
Okay.
Probably I need to crack my knuckles. It's my grandma always told me it's better to have and not need than to need and not have.
Mm-hmm.
Always save your money. Never tell your parents how much money you got in your bank account. That's what my grandma told me. Shout out to Hattie. I mean, it's not really advice. I feel like y'all always taught me to just keep God first.
Mm-hmm.
For my young ladies, always come back to you. You might not like your mama at the moment, but like, once you get older, that's going to be your best friend. That's my girl over there, y'all.
She was so ready to leave home and go do whatever she wanted to do, whatever that was.
Which got shut down because of COVID.
Which got shut down. That's how the Lord works. But, yes, we are best friends. Yes. And it's amazing how our relationships transform, the mother-daughter relationship. So if you are a mom of a tween or a teenager, it's going to get better.
If you're the daughter of a mom and you're also a teenager, it gets better. They don't always get on your nerves. They don't always like, oh. And sometimes they do be telling the truth.
Yes, we do.
Sometimes they do be telling the truth.
Okay, thank you.
But yeah, I mean, you can always call your parents crying. I've called my parents multiple times in literal, like, inconsolable tears. And one thing they will always tell me is that you can always come back home. My daddy always, you want to come get you? Mm-hmm. And I think that statement alone makes me be like, no, I'm fine. It's not that bad. Not that being home is bad, but I'd be like, do I really need to go home?
Right. I can figure it out.
I can figure it out.
Right. Okay. And two more things. What is your favorite scripture?
My favorite scripture alternates right now.
Oh, one of your favorite scriptures. So right now it is
Ephesians 3:20. Shout out to Pastor Brewington.
Okay.
Because that's my song, and I need you to put the full one back on Apple Music.
Which is?
Oh, God, I'm blowing a blank. Oh, my God.
He can do exceedingly above all you can ask or think. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like we think really small.
Mm-hmm.
He can just do more than that.
Right. He'll blow your mind.
Blow your mind.
He has continued to do that.
What did that pastor say? I can't remember his name. I think he did, though. He's an extraordinary strategist.
He's not dead.
Oh, sorry.
Pastor, he's out of Williamsburg County. Oh, my gosh. I can't think of his name.
But shout out to him, too.
I can't think of his name. But, yeah, he's an extraordinary strategist. Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, my gosh. It's going to bother me until it comes
big,
to me.
I feel like all these sermons. Like,
big. Now, she has passed away. Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
See, growing up, like, you be like, I'm not going to remember this sermon. It'd be small things that I remember.
That's awesome. And what would you say to a PK right now who may be struggling with life and trying to figure out where they fit, how they're managing life, not understanding why they have to share their parents. What piece of advice or what would you talk to? What would you tell your younger self?
I would tell little Janiyah that it is okay to be selfish.
Okay.
Especially with your parents.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes it does feel like, oh, like they missed this big moment, even though like in that moment it'd be like, oh, I can't, you know. It is okay to be selfish, but it's sometimes you have to. I would say as a child, it would have been hard for me to be like, I mean, like hindsight is 20/20.
Mm-hmm.
So things that were really big then, I'm like, okay, whatever. So, yeah. It is okay to be selfish. It does get better.
speak up for yourself, because I feel like I'm still, like, as a child, I never wanted to, like, cause a ruckus. I never really learned how to, like,
advocate
for myself. So I feel like I'm learning how to, like, speak. That's why I like texting my feelings more. I don't like talking.
Okay.
It is okay to have those hard conversations. Ask for what you need. If you need more time from your parents, I feel like it is okay to just be like, can you put your phone down? Can we just watch a movie? Or, yeah. Because I feel like sometimes parents, in their mind, they need their child to be like, I need more time from you. And they might just be like, oh, can we go to the store? Or can I ride with you? Or can we watch a movie?
So it doesn't have to be...
It doesn't have to be like something extra. Like, we don't have to go to, like, Jamaica, which would
be... Oh, that would be nice.
That would be nice.
Right.
But we could just...
Go to
Target.
Okay.
To Target or...
Go get some ice cream.
Go get some ice cream, which I feel like daddy and you, like, did really... Well, just my daddy would be like my daddy never really said, like, I want you to spend time with me. He would just be like, let's go to the store. So I'm like, no, like, what do we want to the store for? So now, like, I'm looking like, oh, I wish I would have gone to the store or just finally getting up, or you want to watch a movie, like, because, you know, like, once you get to that age, like, you're too cool for your parents. Like, no, I don't want to watch Aristocrats. Like, I'm 15.
Shout out to Aristocrats.
So now I'm 23. I'm like, hey, let's watch Aristocrats or let's watch Lion King. And he'd be like, no, Janiyah, like, you're grown. Like, I want to watch a movie with you. Like, he jokes, but, like, yeah.
Okay. So it does get better.
It does get better.
Okay. And advocate for yourself.
Give them some grace.
Yes.
They're trying. Sometimes this is their, most times this is their first time being a pastor. They've never done it before. Mm-hmm. They're learning. Let them apologize. When they apologize, say, I forgive you, and move on.
Okay.
Don't hold it against them. Because they're trying.
Well, thank you. I hope this has helped you as well as helped other PKs that are out there, as well as pastors and first ladies, because it is a lot. And we are learning. I know for us, we're learning how to be parents and then add on trying to be pastor and first lady and trying to make sure our daughter is good while going through all the years of tweens and teenagers and all the things. So it's been a challenge. It's been a challenge, but God is... been gracious to us and has directed us, and you've been gracious. You've given us grace, and you've been an amazing daughter. I couldn't have asked for anyone better. So I know it's been hard, and I know you do put a lot of pressure on yourself, and we try not to do that to you, but it's okay. And you've done well, and you continue to do well. So keep up the good work. We do. Yes, we do. Thank you. I love you too. Thank you. And thank you for joining us on the second row. I'm sorry, on the fifth row.
I don't sit on no second row. I stopped doing that when she told me I could sit by myself. Oh, you sit up there.
On the fifth row. Thank you for joining us on the fifth row today. I hope that this has been insightful. I hope this has helped. And I can't wait to see you next week. So join us every Wednesday on the second row, where we have conversations with first ladies as well as PKs. And it's going to be even some more of these type of conversations in the future. You can find us on YouTube and all podcast platforms. That is Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast, you'll find us there. Join us every Wednesday. We thank you for joining us today. And remember, wherever you find yourself, wherever God has placed you, to accept it, embrace it, and flourish in it, just like Janiyah did and has as a PK. See you next Wednesday. Bye.